It's 2025, and we're still alive.
Ooh, thrive.
Somehow. I don't know how we're alive.
Are we?
Maybe we're not alive. Maybe this is some kind of limbo.
Feels like it.
Anyway, we are recording another episode of Gem Hunt.
Woo-hoo!
The show where we usually review obscure horror movies with 5,000 votes or less on IMDb. But if you listened to last week's episode, you know that that is not what we're up to. Our co-host Buggy is still out of the country, so it's just the two boring old people. Speaking of which, we might as well introduce ourselves. You want to go first?
I'm Beth, and I take it in the can. Wine, that is, because Santa put wine in my stocking.
Aha, Santa. Such a nice guy.
Thanks, Santa.
Did not look at the New York Times today, apparently.
Oh, timely.
My name is Cody, and I have developed a debilitating fear of shitting. It hurts.
Temporary.
We'll see. Could be permanent.
It is not going to be permanent.
Permanent shit pain is my new band. We're playing tomorrow night at Jimmy's Weenie Shack. Anyways, what are we doing? I'll tell you what we're doing. We've been watching all the short films, programs, what have you, that were broadcast at 4 a.m. as part of Adult Swim's infomercial series. This is part two. We have 23 more episodes to review tonight. It's been a lot of work. We're looking forward to going back to just watching one movie.
I love movies.
Yeah, movies are good. Anyways, let's just dive right into it. Things get a little bit more complex on this series of shorts. Seems to be a lot more to talk about, but we're going to do our best to try to breeze through them like we did last time. So let's kick it off with our buddy, Giles Vanderhoot. This episode aired on April 25th, 2016. Created, written, directed by, and starring Michael Showalter. You know him from The State, Wet Hot American Summer, the Stella shorts, and the Stella TV series, etc. He's all over the place. You love him. And apparently, this is a spinoff of a minor character from a show, Children's Hospital, that Adult Swim picked up around 2008. And I didn't know this because that was a bit past my Adult Swim watching days. Anyways, Giles Vanderhoot is a rehabilitationalist.
Okay.
I believe that's what he calls himself.
Mm-hmm.
And this starts as a commercial for his personal counseling, rehabilitation, and treatment services. However, you can't make it through a take without fucking it up. So ultimately, it turns into a documentary of him trying to cast someone else to play him in the commercial, which also doesn't go well. What did you think about this one?
It wasn't one of my favorites. It was funny at moments. It was not horror. There was kind of a thing at the end where, like, he contains the universe or whatever, so I guess that leans horror. It was funny, though.
I thought it was pretty funny. But yeah, definitely not. I'd give it a horror score of 0 out of 5.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're in it for the comedy, you like Stella shorts, check it out. Michael Showalter, still a hilarious dude. But yeah, definitely not a horror film in any sense. Not a horror. All right, next up we have one of my favorites, Live at the Necropolis, The Lords of Synth, which aired on May 2nd, 2016. This is an 80s throwback special event featuring three synth masters named Zangelix, Morgio Zoroger, and Carlo Wendos. And these three characters are based off of real synth musicians.
Mm-hmm.
The first, Vangelis. We have Giovanni Giorgio Moroder. And finally, Wendy Carlos. And I love that they just kind of mixed up the letters and the names to create these characters.
Yeah, and that tipped us off to that. I mean, obviously, I was like, oh, it's Wendy Carlos.
And they did really great on the costumes in this one. Also, if you look up all these musicians in the 80s, and then compare them to the characters in this, they look exactly the same. They did an amazing job on the costuming in this one. So this event is a contest to see which synth master can provide the best score to Halley's Comet. But the stakes are very high.
These Three synth legends have been known to score a film or two, but tonight they're about to score something unprecedented. A comet.
Halley's, king of the comets. Especially bright in the sky tonight. It's closer to Earth than it's ever been before.
Whoever scores the celestial dance of the comet most evocatively will be named the Lord of Synth. The losers will be banned from music for a period of 100 years.
So, there's some great extra characters in this, like Panos, the Wonder Child, Rodolfo, the Clockmaker, Captain Corelli and his mandolin, and of course, former President Gerald Ford, and a pulsating ball of pure energy. This is a interesting short. Do you have any initial thoughts?
It was great. Even so, the announcers are really funny too. I don't know if people know who Wendy Carlos is, but she did Switched on Bach and the score for Clockwork Orange and The Shining, and she was a transgender pioneer. I just wanted to put that out there. And the one other thing is that there's a Yanni special called Live at the Acropolis, and I think that's probably why this is Live at the Necropolis. But yeah, so Comet, they're scoring a comet, and then the comet starts coming for Earth, and there's like a fucking doomsday clock happening.
Hell yeah.
And therefore it is horror.
Things definitely veer into cosmic horror for this one. Mm-hmm. The comet's going to decimate Earth. Mm-hmm. They have to come together to try to use their music to steer the comet away, which isn't going very well. There's pink eye blood. Panos the Wonder Child does some weird shit. I think this one was awesome. Definitely check it out. I gave it a horror score of 2 out of 5 just because there wasn't anything like overtly horror in it, but I think it's a notable inclusion on the list. And if you're a fan of ridiculous 80s shit, definitely check it out.
Yeah, it was super well done. It was funny. Yeah, it was good. I like this one. Next up, we have News Hits, which starts out as one of the anchors, Bruce, is leaving a news station. So it's like under the guise of a blooper reel, but it turns out to be some like hidden camera footage of Bruce and one of his co-anchors involved in a murder for hire plot.
Hell yeah. And before I say anything else, I do have to say I love me some news bloopers.
Oh, I do too. They're so funny. And these were funny ones. They're funny, and then like the shit starts just getting kind of like wedged in there. And even, I mean, obviously it's all funny. It was funny. This one was an enjoyable watch.
Yeah, it gets pretty dark. Bruce has been up to some pretty nefarious shit behind the scenes with his coworker. Their whole murder for hire plot involves autoerotic asphyxiation.
It does, yeah. And there's some satanic ritual action. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was a fun one.
Yeah, rest in peace, David Carradine.
Aw, rip. Yeah.
Did anyone ever find out what happened to Chris Cornell for real?
I feel like we've talked about it's always too soon, but I think sometimes people just hang themselves and it gets like tabloided as autoerotic asphyxiation. And I think that I would not quote me on this. I've not done a deep dive into it. But the same with Michael Hutchence. I think it's like people said it was that, but actually he just killed himself. Anyway, Speaking of dark turns,
I gave this one an initial horror score of 2 out of 5, but maybe it's closer to 3 just with some of the nefarious shit. It's pretty funny, though, also.
Yeah, it was funny. Just the delivery. I mean, news anchors are inherently funny. They're
true.
Kind of ridiculous, you know?
Oh, this one aired on May 31st, 2016. Not that these dates really matter, but you know, we're just trying to give you some chronological context.
It is interesting, though, to think in this, like, as you keep saying 2016, I'm, like, trying to picture, like, where we were on the innocence scale.
Right.
Before.
Were we ever really innocent?
No. We all have blood on our hands. The next one is Mulchtown. Which I love. This might be my actual overall favorite. It felt kind of like a Southern Gothic short story. It made me think of Harry Cruz, who actually has a book called The Mulching of America, and I couldn't find if there was an inspiration or a link, but it's like just kind of a narrated, there's a couple of different characters narrating. There's a lot of like animal cruelty, which I hate, but it's sort of like a pastoral gone like fucking upside down. People turn into worms. It's for me, it was more of a vibe than a story. So my description is not super great. Sorry.
No, I think that was a great description. I definitely thought it this was the first one that kind of felt more like a short film rather than a fake infomercial or television program or something. And I thought there was an interesting duality because it's both creepy and funny, comforting and unsettling. I saw a random internet comment that said, this is a parody of William Faulkner's writing.
Okay, so. I could see that too. Like, I was thinking Harry Cruz, but yeah, it definitely has the Faulkner. Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, so the main character is a member of something called the Frog Team, which is also the name of the short story by Chris Sartinsky, who was one of the creators and writers of this episode, as directed by Danny Jelinek. We both really like this one. Yeah, these guys on the Frog Team are charged with killing nuisance animals, which by itself is kind of dark. Mm-hmm. There's a bloody bag of carrots at one point.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely is like a slow burn horror as it gets into the narrative. This is a cool one. You should check it out. I got it pegged as a 3 out of 5. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's good. It's definitely unsettling. I hate animal cruelty, but for some reason, like when it comes to short fiction, that's that kind of like gross, dark humanity thing. I'm all about it. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Next up, we have a little thing called Check It Out with Scott Clam from October 23, 2017. This was a Halloween special that appeared as the final episode of a program called Check It Out with Steve Brule, which we love. I'm a little confused if this was actually a Halloween special on that show or on the infomercial series, or if it was just close enough that they called it a Halloween special. Anyways, that doesn't matter. But if you haven't seen Check It Out with Steve Brule, do yourself a favor and find a way to watch it as soon as possible.
For your health.
Yeah. It's a spinoff from Tim and Eric's awesome show Great Job, which often featured the character of Steve Brule, played by the amazing and hilarious John C. Reilly.
Mm-hmm.
How would you describe Steve Brule?
He's like Forrest Gump or something. Well, he's like kind of, which that's the one, it's like, is he developmentally disabled? I don't know. But he's like failed upward, but he does these interviews with people and he's just fucking off the wall. It's where, there's like some vocabulary, Rangus, we got Rangus from this show.
Nobody's going to know what Rangus is, but
it's hot.
Maybe
brown.
We'll find it out.
Oh yeah, sorry, I won't ruin it, but just, it's hot brown rain. It's Rangus.
So at some point during the show's run, a character named Scott Clam begins to pop up occasionally, and he kind of appears as this creepy evil entity, I would say, to some extent, maybe.
Yeah, so his segments, like, it's almost like the technology goes haywire sometimes, right? And like his eye, it's like a...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he seems kind of demonic. So when it was unveiled that Scott Clam would be taking over as the host of Check It Out, we obviously expected some fucked up shit for his first solo episode. However, that's not exactly what we got. Instead, we get a very straightforward and very boring interview about trains.
It's like so not funny that it's funny. Well, and the guy that he's talking to about trains is also a regular guest star on Check It Out, and he is so... I mean, it's just like so droll. It's so dry and so like nothing fucking happens, but you're waiting for the other shoe to drop the whole time.
Yeah, it's like a prank. It feels like a prank after you've watched the entire Check It Out series and then you get this. It's quite funny. Horror score 0 out of 5 because, as we said, it's just a straightforward interview, but it's good. And go check it out.
Yeah. The next one is Suplex Duplex Complex, which is two warring factions of wrestlers living in a duplex.
Wrestlers.
I'm sorry about that. Wrestlers. And it's sort of like they have a landlord and they're like, fuck the landlord. And then they kill the landlord in an accident.
Yeah, he crashes his bike off a cliff and explodes.
And they realize they need a landlord. And it was funny. Like, there's some really funny, you know, there's, of course, like the giant guy with the high-pitched voice. Like, there's just some very, like, 80s wrestler kind of shit. Not for, although the landlord sort of haunts them.
Yeah, he comes back out of the toilet to tell them to get a new landlord.
There's a rap. It's pretty fun.
Yeah, it is fun. It opens with this ridiculous 80s rap jam with all the wrestlers rapping. And there's some pretty funny music, I'll say, about this one. It's preposterous.
One thing is, some of these, I think I would have found to be so much more fun if I just watched them as a standalone thing. But we were like, they're like 11 minutes long, but we're like slogging through all of them, taking notes. True. And I think any of these individually, you'd be like, that's fucking funny. But when you watch like four in a row, you're just like, okay.
Yeah.
You know.
So, yep, this one's pro-landlord.
Yes, pro-landlord.
Pro-wrestler.
Pro-wrestler, pro-landlord, subversively anti-capitalist. But, yes, pro-landlord.
Pay the rent, even if it's overpriced.
And together we can build a new paradise. Teamwork's the best for me and you.
Tip-top, dip-bop, skiddly-doo.
Welcome to our landlord paradise. We all live in our landlord paradise. Welcome to our landlord paradise. We all live in our landlord paradise. Welcome to our landlord paradise. We all live in our landlord paradise. Welcome to our landlord paradise.
All right, next up we got Wet Shapes, November 6th. 2017. This is a telethon for Wet Shapes degenerative disease. And what the fuck are wet shapes?
They are like pieces of material that are cut into different shapes that you can take in the fucking bath with you. And then they live in fish tanks. It's ridiculous. They're like triangles and squares
and circles
and circle and other, you know, stars. Excuse me while I barf into the mic.
So the wet shapes have some serious problems.
Since 2008, when our global wet shapes population was first afflicted with mass simultaneous deterioration, we've had to come together to fund the cure.
I guess what they're trying to do is raise money so they could pay a scientist to save the wet shapes from degenerating.
And it's almost like a hostage negotiation with him because he's like, oh, I'm sorry, I can't, you know, and it's like they're raising all this money and all he has to do is like add a...
He has like two vials of fluid.
Two test tubes that he needs to like mix together. This one is stupid. And again, if I was just watching this, the whole thing that we talked about last time, if I saw this at 4 a.m., and I was watching infomercials and this fucking shit came in, it would have been the best thing that ever happened to me.
Yeah,
but,
for a couple seconds, the telethon is almost believable until, it gets ridiculous really dang quick, so.
Yeah, at first I don't think you understand exactly what it's for, and so you could think you stumbled onto some like, oh no, this, you know.
Right.
We need a cure for pieces of paper eventually disintegrate when they're in water.
Yeah, kind of dumb. A little funny. Definitely not horror at all. 0 out of 5, I would say.
Yeah. I mean, and there's like a subplot about somebody who steals wet shapes. And
oh, yeah.
She's
kind of funny.
Almost felt like a character from like Crybaby or something. She's like this, you know, delinquent. Okay. The next one is Innovation Makers the Coyote Suit.
That's correct. From December 12th, 2017.
So this family's favorite son, it's very clear the favorite out of two, was dragged to death by coyotes.
Dragged to death.
And that is definitely something they say multiple times. And so the dad makes this fucking ridiculous suit that looks like it has like, what are the, like pickup sticks? Remember that game?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. It's got all sorts of shit sticking out of
it. It has these like little like cocktail skewers all over. I mean, but they're like in little bundles that look kind of like those LED light things. So yeah, his remaining son, he and his wife, the remaining son who they're obviously not as fond of as the one who had the coyote experience, make him wear this goddamn suit. And, you know, it can be unlocked by like a series of puzzles. Like he's, you know, trying to make out with a girl. And like, in order to get to his wiener, she's got to like do this combination puzzle shit. Kind of funny, kind of tedious. Not very horror. There's a twist.
Yeah, there's a twist that adds a little bit of horror at the end. We'll say there's some coyotes that do their thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is another episode directed by Danny Jelinek, who also directed Mulchtown.
Interesting, because it's very different.
Feels much different, yeah. I would say maybe a 1.5 out of 5 just because of the twist ending we get there at the end. But
yeah, and I mean, there is some like graphic-ish. I mean, yeah, like coyotes do appear and they do fuck people up.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, I mean, I think, again, I just feel like all of these individually, I would have been like, this is funny. But when you're just like, and another one, and I'm like looking for, I don't know, I'm looking for...
love in all the wrong places.
No, I'm looking for the scenes of a bear. What? Why? I just like spaced on the name.
Oh, unedited footage of a bear.
Yeah, I'm like expecting that. So then when I get coyotes, I'm like, okay, you know. It's fine, though. It's good. They're good.
Yeah. All right. Next up, we got a message from the future. June 4th, 2018. This one was written and created by Paul Scheer. Mm-hmm. If you're a fan of comedy, you probably know him from a lot of shit, including Upright Citizens Brigade, Drunk History, Veep, etc. And he's been involved in several of these infomercial episodes that we've watched so far, including one of our faves from our last podcast episode, Frank Pierre Presents the Frank Pierre Resort and Casino. So he created that one. So this one starts with a civilization-ending nuclear blast. You like how I said nuclear, correct?
Look at this. You've changed. It must be the radiation.
Yeah, I guess so. And this blast ended the lives of 3 billion humans on May 19th, 2020, if only.
Oh, shit. Wow. Yeah. That's an interesting date to have picked. That was like deep, balls deep.
Yeah. So it almost seems like it's going to be the start of a movie trailer, but nope. These are a series of political ads from the post-apocalyptic future. One of the candidates is the Queen of the Rats.
That's the one I wrote down, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's who I would vote for, Queen of the Rats.
Another candidate, Mr. Jacoby, lives alone in a bunker and talks to creepy burnt dolls. Of course, there's a brain in a jar.
Mm-hmm.
And since this episode is about a nuclear apocalypse...
You lost it. You dropped it.
I have to throw out another endorsement for the film Threads, which I mentioned, I believe, in one of our older episodes. If you haven't seen Threads and you want to have your emotional well-being ruined, check it out.
Might as well.
Yeah.
But, yeah, sorry. This one's funny. It was funny.
Yeah, I thought it was funny, too. It's a clever concept.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, it ends up being a political ad for just a boring county assemblyman named Bob Sputt.
Oh, that's right. It was all, yeah. It's all like, this could happen. Mm-hmm. Which, sorry, spoiler alert.
That's okay. Anyways, I'd say maybe a horror score of 1 out of 5, just because there's a couple little creepy things introduced, but it's mostly just played for laughs, and the laughs are earned, well earned.
Yeah, I like this one. I do. Okay, next up is Cool Dad.
Yeah, that's me.
You are. Yes, he is Cool Dad. It's a series of trailers for like direct-to-video movie series about this dad. And his son, who like magically gets his birthday wishes granted. And they get like, I mean, they're pretty silly from the beginning, but it's like one of them is Mr. Thanksgiving and he like learns to love Thanksgiving. One of them's Planty Daddy because he gets turned into a plant. And then eventually Officer Daddy because he gets replaced by a cop stepdad. And then, you know, it was just kind of stupid. It was kind of funny because all the way through, like the same. There were some scenes that were the same in every movie that made it funny. But there is the only horror element, I think, is at the end. Officer Daddy gets turned into a cup of coffee and the mom drinks it.
Yep.
That is another like, here, watch this. Here's what happens. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Like, oh, you forgot Sad Dad, which is the one that happens before the feature presentation where he loses everything and his son wishes for him to go away or whatever.
Yes, he wishes for him to go away and that's how we get Officer Dad. Anyway, it's just like a series of, what's funny is all of these are kind of believable as fucking stupid ass straight to VHS.
Yeah, you know. As a person who rented a lot of VHS tapes as a kid, I could definitely confirm that there are trailers much like these.
Yeah, not horror, no. Except for the coffee.
Yeah, it's clever. It's kind of funny. Maybe a 0.5 just for the kind of weird end, but overall, a little dumb. Maybe worth it for a watch if you're into comedy.
I mean, yeah, all of these are like, none of them are like bad, especially I was going to say this series. I feel like the first one that we watched, there were some actual duds. And all of these, I feel like there was not a single one where I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, I think I would agree with that too. All right, let's get into some weird stuff. We got Day World, June 18th, 2018. This is a weird little confusing animation about two characters named Day and Dole. I'm not sure exactly what to say about this one.
I wrote, oh boy, as my like initial. It's one of them is like a baby, but he's not a baby.
I was wondering, are they both babies? They're small, but they talk like real people, but they kind of act like babies.
But a mom like brings them food and stuff too. Mm-hmm. It was fun. This is some funny shit and it is weird and I liked it.
Yeah, there's nothing really overtly horror, but something about it is unsettling that is hard to explain.
It also has Tim Heidecker's fingerprints all over. Like when I saw the credits, I was like, okay.
And like, why is the one dude with the weird voice never wearing a shirt?
The plot point, the major thing is the more baby one gets filmed peeing his pants and it goes viral.
Oh, yeah, right.
And so
that's a key plot point.
There is like a story there. And it's about the hazards of fame. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, kind of, actually. I could see it.
It was thoroughly enjoyable and very stupid. And all the animation is like, it's like this CGI, like...
Yeah, the animation's hella weird.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Weird dubbing, weird. I mean, I recommend. Recommend. Maybe you get horror just from how it makes you feel, you know?
That's a viable explanation. All right, from June 25th, 2018, we got...
Final deployment for Queen Battle Walkthrough. And I don't even know. This kind of like fucked me up. So it's definitely horror.
Yeah. So this is another Casper Kelly joint. We talked about Casper Kelly's Too Many Cooks on the last episode. This one is the longest episode in the whole series. Mm-hmm. They kind of scammed their way into getting 20 minutes instead of the standard 11 minutes. But holy moly, this is an onion that gets peeled back and the layers just keep coming, huh?
Yeah, it's like a nesting doll, the dangers of being like too plugged in. I don't know. It's you know, everybody's a fucking playable character.
It
exploded my brain a little bit.
Yeah. So what begins as a simple YouTube style video game walkthrough gets very meta as it goes along. We initially have this game story about a soldier coming home from war and basically going through all the sad and depressing shit that soldiers actually go through when they come home from war.
Right, right, right.
But then it gets all fucked up when suddenly the video game reviewer becomes a game that is being reviewed by another video game reviewer and so on and so forth.
And on and on and on. And it is like, well, it's also funny, by the way.
Yeah,
it's true. Not just... like you accidentally got trapped in a nightmare. It's like a funny nightmare at points, I guess.
Yeah, no, I'd say that. But yeah, I think on one hand, it's a pretty good satire about video game reviews and maybe just YouTube culture in general. Mm-hmm. But it definitely gets a bit taxing on the mind as it just becomes like this never-ending cycle that goes deeper and deeper as they introduce more people playing other characters in this crazy meta game.
It's just like the actual horror of the times we live in, right? Like the idea that everyone's whole life is actually in this space that doesn't exist. I don't know it. And a lot of people, if that's what you like to do, more power to you and, you know, enjoy your life. But just the idea of your life being like inside a screen and a headset, it gives me goosebumps. I'm old. I'm saying, where's the young one? She'd be like, but when you... It's really fun to get to be a jewel floating in the ocean. And you can... Yeah, I don't know.
I reckon it probably is. So I gave this one a 2.5 out of 5 because on the one hand, it's not straightforward horror, but there's this mental horror element and just the like social commentary, I feel like gives it a bump there.
I'd say it's a 3.
Oh, a 3. God damn shit.
That's just all I have to say, yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Next up, we got Food, The Source of Life from July 2nd, 2018. This is the story of a carrot that travels from a farm to an upscale restaurant full of yuppies. Along the way, we get an attempted truck jacking. Someone gets beat to death with a carrot. The carrot ends up the ass of the local sheriff or detective or whatever.
Yep.
And ultimately is served to the annoying yuppies. Before we learn that there are some dark forces associated with all of our produce.
Perfect yuppie, perfect like modern yuppie depiction.
Yeah.
I don't even know if you call them yuppies anymore.
Yeah, it's like us at a restaurant.
Oh yeah, totally, for sure. I want to know where this carrot came from before, you know, I find out it was up someone's butt and then I get possessed by it.
Yeah, I only eat butt carrots.
A little extra. Nope, not, I'm done. Nope, no butt carrots.
So this one's weird because it doesn't really feel like a horror, but there's a multiple elements to it that kind of give it a little boost, I'd say. So I put it as a 2 out of 5, maybe.
I mean there's possession and murder.
And the end is kind of creepy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like this one too. I mean, this time I liked them all. I don't know. There might be one I don't like.
Yeah, maybe.
But yeah.
Mm-mm. Okay, we're creeping into December. On December 10th, 2018, we got a weird one. What do we got on this one?
Pervert Everything, which one of the opening lines that I enjoyed and I do not agree with, but I think is funny and it's probably not okay, is consent is always in the eyes when you're fucking an animal.
Oh, yeah.
You can just tell if they want it by looking in their eyes.
Exactly. Yeah, there's some bestiality right out of the gate with this one. And this is definitely a little what the fuck kind of thing here with this one. So it's credited to Lorelei Ramirez, who now goes by River L. Ramirez,
okay,
who is a comedian, writer, experimental artist, musician, and storyteller, known for starring in Los Spookies.
Oh, I love Los Spookies. Oh, okay. I know who that is.
Yeah. Many other things. I believe this is River's only director credit, but they have written several other things and featured in a handful of shows. So interesting person to maybe keep an eye on. I don't even know how to dissect this deal, but I don't know. There, you know, we have this talk show clip at the end, at the beginning, that's kind of intercut with these hella creepy home footage segments. There's a dude covered in like
something
black
in
for
the bathtub.
Blood. Yeah.
It felt found footagey, and it felt like the fucking Mother God documentary to me, which I don't know how many people have watched that, but it was, there was the like culty, weird found footage vibe. That's funny that it was someone from Los Spookies. Now I'm curious about that. I love that fucking show. It's great.
There are these little colorful bendy toys that are
yes,
around.
The bendy
that
guys.
They might have something to do with whatever terrible thing is going on.
Mm-hmm.
One of the characters keeps talking about water.
Oh yeah, water. Now we're never going to say water again because it's going to be water forever.
Yeah. This one's really hard to describe, and I guess what I'd say about it is it's pretty avant-garde, it's very unsettling, and it's quite spooky.
I liked it. This is on my definite like horror. Yeah.
Yeah, this one's up there, just how kind of unsettling it is. I'd say like 3.5 or 4 out of 5, maybe. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely kind of fucks with your brain.
The water, you know, carries it over the finish line.
Yeah, water. All right, next up from December 17th. 2018, we have Flay Away. This is a body horror comedy from comedian Sarah Sherman.
Sarah Squirm.
Squirm?
Yeah.
Squirmin?
Well, I mean, I think she just goes by Sarah Squirm and Sherman. Yeah.
It's credited as Sarah Sherman. But I'm not super familiar with this comedian, but now I'm interested in learning more. So what we have is a commercial for a new way to deal with disgusting body hair, which... and according to this episode, the thing that people like most about horses is their hair, but hate most about humans is their hair. And so we now have a solution to body hair, which is to simply remove all your skin.
And there's some really funny, maybe you could, it's like you know, women are disgusting and filthy. Like it's a theme that keeps coming back.
There's a feminist angle to this one.
Yeah,
sure.
Totally. It's like women are gross and dirty and disgusting. There's a quote though. There's like three words that she keeps using. Yeah.
Yeah.
Body horror. But another really funny thing is like, why do you think they call balls balls? They're eyeballs. So like you can see with your balls and it's just been discovered.
Yeah, I didn't know this.
So congratulations.
Yeah, I didn't know that inside your scrotum are actually eyeballs. So now that I know that, it's exciting.
The other thing is that taking off all your skin solves racism.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, part of the procedure, you have to get hung by your feet on hooks, of course. There's something that has to do with your anal skin.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. This one is really gross, but it's all presented so comedically.
And cutesy, kind of.
Yeah, I'd say that like the special effects are really effective, but they're all sort of like home craft looking.
Totally.
It's kind of funny. Yeah, so the body horror is heavy on this one. I'd maybe say this is like a 3 out of 5 on the horror scale just because the body horror stuff, but it is like just straight sketch comedy as well.
Yeah, it's funny. It's very, very gross though. Yeah, I feel like I might have even like covered my face at a point. I don't know. Getting your skin peeled off or flayed away is actually one of those things that kind of makes me like flinch, you know?
Yeah, like martyrs, man.
Yeah, the fucking, what's the clown one when that woman gets, I don't, possessor.
Oh, Terrifier.
Terrifier, that's right. Not Possessor, that's a good movie.
Okay, what do we got on December 16th, 2019?
Oh, that's Buggy's birthday.
Again.
That was her 16th birthday.
Oh.
When Panties Fly, which is not, it was kind of like a fake documentary about panties.
Yeah, I think everything you could possibly want to know about panties you learn in this documentary.
But also, I think maybe a lot of it isn't true.
Oh, I'm sure it's not.
Or most of it.
A Chinese folklore god once said, when panties fly, the fly of the pants opens and fertility soars.
Yeah, so it's just all about panties and like, you know, elastic and what they're made out of. And my favorite part of it was only perverts keep panties out of landfills because panty sniffers give old, tired panties a new life and they don't end up in the trash.
Yeah.
Because the elastic is like not biodegradable and they stay around forever. And
exactly.
So keep sniffing those panties. Keep buying those used panties to sniff.
Yeah, we definitely get into some thematic content that seems to be commenting on our kind of garbage throwaway
culture,
everything
yeah.
is disposable culture. You know, he talks about panties being thrown on stage at rock shows.
Oh, yeah.
And there's something about BDSM in there as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I can't remember how it all relates, but it comes all back to the throwaway culture stuff. But yeah, the main point is, only perverts can keep your panty waste out of the landfills.
Panty waste. That means
waste.
Something different.
Oh, not in my world.
Okay.
It's not horror at all. It's funny. It's clever. It's a 0 out of 5 on the horror scale.
Yeah, but it was just like a little weird thing, which a lot of these are. It's fun.
Yeah. Okay. On April 27th, 2020, there's like a weird gap. It like, maybe not. Maybe that's later. Never mind. On April 27th, 2020, we get a little thing called Piggy. I would describe this one maybe as a sketch comedy type deal.
Mm-hmm.
It's created and written by a dude named Steve Smith. Very unique name. Here's a one-sentence synopsis from Steve's website. A Silicon Valley mega corporation beta tests its first genetically engineered employee. That's all you need to know.
He turns out to be an anti-woke comic.
Yeah. The entire thing takes place kind of in what looks like an Amazon warehouse or some
totally.
Shit like
people
that.
People are peeing in jars the whole 9 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we discover that Piggy, the genetically engineered employee, is basically like the worst, most annoying coworker you can imagine. He's full of bad jokes.
Mm-hmm.
He's bad at his job. He's always fucking around. He's gross looking. There's a little bit of body horror just with...
He lays fucking eggs.
Yeah, he shits out these little green eggs.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, his coworker lobbies his boss to murder him, and so that becomes, you know, his coworkers hate him so much that it basically turns into them wanting to murder the genetically engineered dude.
So it wasn't very horror, except that's Frankenstein.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like it had that monster movie horror thing where it's like, because he did want people to like him and stuff, but he was always like, hey, how about them bras? They fucking suck. Suck my dick. Oh, or whatever, you know, so.
Direct quote.
No, but it's like it's hard to sympathize or empathize with him. But then as it goes on, it does kind of feel like Frankenstein's monster where you're like, oh, it's not his fault. Somebody made him this way.
I didn't even think of that, but that's a good point.
No, it's like, and so that is the point. The part of it that is horror is it's one of those like old school, like the monster, you know?
Yeah, good point. So other than a few gross things that pop up, I'd say maybe a 1 out of 5 on the horror scale for this guy. Okay, what do we got next?
Oh, this is the only one I really didn't like that much. Skeleton Landlord.
Yes.
I mean, I liked the, what's the word I'm looking for? The setup, it was like PC game graphics.
The aesthetic.
Yeah, like it was funny for a second that it was like so janky. Like, yeah, so it's a skeleton. He's a landlord. There's humans in it. And it's silly.
It is silly, yeah.
It was funny. It was funny at points. Like
there
one
are
of the
some
humans
funny moments.
Who's very like average looking. He like takes off his shirt and there's like the canned audience soundtrack that's like, ooh, ah.
Yeah, you know? It's kind of a sitcom. It's like
exactly.
Has a sitcom set up. One of the main storyline points is that the skeleton landlord really wants to befriend some cool kids that live in
the
cool building.
Kids.
So he starts a band with his maintenance man or whatever who plays the clarinet.
Ooh,
and they,
that guy.
Yeah, ooh, that guy. They go to an open mic, they invite the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, the kids get sprayed with an anti-aging spray that has the opposite effect
on young people.
Hey, Skeleton.
Hey, man. Sorry about spraying you guys.
No, dude, that was really sick, man. That was a really tight set. I really enjoyed it.
What? Really?
Yeah, and spraying us? That was a really nice touch. Getting sprayed with ambiguous poisons is, like, super in right now.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
And then the other thing that makes it a little horror is that, the maintenance man / like, henchman of Skeleton Landlord has to evict people, what he does is murder them.
Yeah, pretty much.
I don't hate it. I don't mean to be like I hate it, but it was a little bit tedious. But again, it might be like the point in the number of them that we were fucking watching that I was like, ah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, no, I'm right there with you on this one. I think it's kind of dumb and it might just not be my type of humor.
Right. The idea of the setup, this is like a early 2000s graphics. It is funny, but it is 11 minutes of that. That could be 3 minutes. Again, that's the thing I keep running into, and I just was very far away from the microphone, and I'm sorry.
It's okay. I think the thing I thought was the most funny, not to belabor the point on this one that we didn't even like, but at the opening of this episode, the skeleton is playing Guitar Hero on his desktop computer using the keyboard.
Yeah.
Which is goddamn hilarious.
There's funny shit. Like, that is the point of this, is it's like Best Buy 2003 or something. And that's funny. It is funny.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, horror score. Maybe 1 out of 5,
there's
just
murder.
Because there's murder and melting people.
Yeah.
Kind of. Next up, we got Wormholes from September 8th, 2020. But first, I have to say, we accidentally watched the wrong video first go
Holes.
With this one. Yeah. We watched a video called Holes, which was also an Adult Swim feature, but it was basically just a mashup of internet videos about holes in some form or fashion. But the video did feature a clip from an animation called Rejected by Don Hertzfeldt, which I saw at an animation festival in Southern California circa 2001. I was with my buddies Pete and Jake.
Aww.
And it features some cute little characters and some anal bleeding. So it's basically a documentary about me.
Life is good!
is bleeding! For the love of God and all that is holy!
No, so yeah, we were like, why does this keep coming up? And but also there was one of the other holes is it was obviously like some kind of Sasquatch person just narrating their day and you keep accidentally seeing their feet and you're like, it's Bigfoot feet. What is
Oh, yeah.
It? Anyway, but yes, anal bleeding. There was something like that in the flyaway one too where we're like, why are these thematic elements
But anyways, this isn't even the episode we're supposed to be talking about.
No, wormholes.
We're supposed to be talking about wormholes, which is the actual episode. It's about a guy basically addicted to going down internet wormholes or rabbit holes, you want to call them.
Yeah.
At some point, he takes a depression test, which he fails.
He scores 27 out of 27.
So obviously,
and then he keeps trying to like.
Yeah, he obviously comes to the conclusion that his computer is busted. That's right. Why he's failing the depression test. But this one's kind of depressing, actually, even though it's sort of funny as well.
Because it's the same thing as the video game one, where it's like, this is really who we are. And then also, okay, and this is the main thing I meant to look up. Steve Harvey, there's a huge part of this that Steve Harvey calling people's vaginas or virginity or like women fucking da cookie.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that part.
No, that is what stayed with me the most. Like, don't give da cookie away. Da cookie, protect da cookie, keep da cookie clean. And I don't know if that's real or not. And I'm sorry that I meant to have that information.
Oh, yeah.
And then I forgot. Because I was eating a sandwich.
That's okay. Sandwiches are important.
But anyway, look it up. Da cookie. I don't know how Steve Harvey would have the authority to comment on how people should keep their cookies.
I think he has the authority to comment on whatever he wants. He's Steve Harvey. That's a 0 out of 5 on the horse scale. And it's not one of the best, I'd say, even though it's interesting.
I liked it, though. I did not like it. I thought it was just kind of like an accurate depiction of some people's evenings, I think.
True.
Which is, yeah.
Good point. Okay, what do we got next here?
The next one is 11-minute Wham Bam 90s ride.
Woo!
And it is when like a virtual spin class instructor's music fails, he goes real dark.
Yeah, Tay-Tay Mac.
Yeah, Tay-Tay Mac. And it's Anders Holm from Workaholics. It's very funny. And his fucking, like, ridiculous, I'm a G vernacular. I don't even know what word. Like, you know, white boy, I don't know. It's funny. Like, just him, the way he talks is very funny. But he, like, gets into the story of how he murdered his twin brother because there's no music, so he goes off the rails.
Yeah. There's supposed to be a killer 90s playlist featuring what, Aerosmith and what else? I can't remember. There's like all sorts
know.
Of ridiculous
some
shit.
Like hip hop, just like the classic, I've never been to a spin class and I would like to keep it that way, but
yeah,
it feels like, you know, what you're supposed to be listening to when you're riding that bike so hard.
Exactly.
They kill your twin.
He's got these voices in his head.
Oh, yeah.
He starts to confess what really happened to his dead twin brother, and all the online viewers just start bailing from the spin class. It's pretty funny, I'd say.
It's funny, but... And so there is one moment at the very end where someone messages him that might actually be his, like, the ghost of his dead twin brother, and that's, like, the only horror. It's like, your dead brother... 45 at Hotmail, or I don't remember what, but it's a funny guy though. The delivery is very funny.
Yeah, I didn't know anything about this guy until you made me watch a episode of Workaholics a while ago. Now I want to watch more of that because I had never watched that show before.
It's funny. It's dated, but it's actually not that dated because it's still things are not that different. They're not. Yeah.
Okay. Next up, we got A Life in Questions. Wisdom School with Aaron Chen from December 8th, 2020. This is a pretty straightforward reality show kind of comedy sketch featuring an Australian stand-up comedian named Aaron Chen, wherein he wanders around asking people funny questions in a very funny way while walking you through his methods of interviewing.
Questions are in my blood. Seriously, my blood type is Y positive. How many times have you been to the beach today?
Today? Just I only come once every day.
So you're not that into it?
I come almost every day.
But for every 1,000 different questions I ask, there's only ever been one that I've come back to, time and time again.
Hey, hello, how's it going?
Good.
Sick, we got it.
Yeah, it's man on the street interviews. This might be the funniest one.
This is fucking hilarious.
So funny.
I laughed out loud multiple times. I don't really have anything to say about it other than the fact that it's hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's just watch it. It's not horror at all. It is fucking funny, though.
Yeah, I watched some clips of Aaron Chen's stand-up today, and he's definitely a comic that I'm going to keep my eye on.
Yeah.
He's hilarious.
Delivery like Bill Murray or something.
Yeah.
Like, just fucking deadpan, so fucking funny.
Yeah, he's good. 0 out of 5 on the horror scale, but funny as hell. Watch it just for the comedy. And then check out Aaron Chen's stand-up as well. Okay, what do we got next from December 14th, 2020?
Well, now that we're here, I realize I could do a callback because this is called Rate the Cookie.
Oh, yeah.
And I was talking about Steve Harvey and the fucking cookie, which I found out that there really is Steve Harvey, when do I share my cookie rules?
Ooh.
But this is about the lovely comedian Jo Firestone sharing her actual cookies with people. No, that, see, like it works. So she sets up a little booth and she's like got cookies and they're like fucking hilarious fake brand names for them because she doesn't want to get sued. And it's like she sets up this thing where it's either you take $50 cash from me or you become my friend. We exchange numbers and we're friends and we're going to hang out. Because it's actually a ploy to make friends. And there's my boy. That's my friend.
Ooh.
Anyway, it's very, very adorable. In the same vein, obviously, as Jo Para.
Yeah.
She's, you know, the other lead on that show, basically. And similar, just like, I love her. We've watched a little bit of her stand-up, and she is just darling.
Hell yeah.
And funny. Not just darling. Not because she's a woman. I'm not saying she's darling.
Oh, I see how it is.
I know. Sorry.
I know funny how you women treat darling. Other women.
No. I'm a big pro woman.
We love Jo Firestone mm-hmm. around the Dirt Dog's house, mm-hmm, for sure. Mm-hmm. She's hilarious.
We're my yogurt heads.
Yeah, it's a cute episode. It's funny. She's great. Oh, here's some of the cookie names. I almost forgot to write these down.
I know.
We got the Cream Buster, the Wally Wow, Pink Rectangles, mm-hmm, Clumpers. Those are the ones I wrote down that I thought were funny.
I had some written down too, but I don't know where that piece of paper went because I'm me and you're you.
Yeah, anyway, this one's funny. 0 out of 5 on the horror scale, but check it out just for Jo Firestone because she rules. Okay, next up, and the final episode we're reviewing tonight.
Dun, dun, dun.
Danny Ketchup from December 21st, 2022, which is just like yesterday.
Remember that?
No, I don't actually. It probably was okay.
It's before the shit.
Yeah, I guess so.
In the shit, but before the real shit.
Speaking of shit.
Oh.
Okay, I'm done. So this is kind of like an action movie. Actually, it is an action movie. However, all the actors' heads have been replaced with crudely drawing cartoon faces. And it's full of bad jokes and overall just kind of preposterous. But there are some funny moments.
It's a pun lover's dream.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm a pun lover. But it just felt like maybe Mystery Science Theater 3000 for the next generation who'd never seen it because it was kind of a rip. Like, it was like they put a cartoon head so you can't see the lips moving and then put totally different dialogue in some fucking cheesy movie.
Yeah, there are some good one-liners. Also, we get a little bit of gore. There's some genital sawing.
Mm-hmm. Harpoon or something? Is that
the
one?
Impalement with some kind of harpoon type thing. It's a chainsaw battle.
Just some genital sawing.
Yeah, just a little bit of genital sawing. And the thing I forgot to do, and I'm sad about it, is I think this was footage from a real action movie, I can't confirm that, but I was going to look that up and try to determine what movie it's from, and I failed because I'm a failure.
It was definitely a real, like, it was definitely some kind of, like, I mean, maybe it wasn't, but it felt like ripped from an early 90s, which makes us think it's 80s movie with just preposterous dialogue added over the top. And it was super fun. It was not a horror thing.
No. I gave it a 1 out of 5 just for the gore, but it was a little more over the top than your standard action gore, but, you know, still more of just a funny thing. I think this is another Casper Kelly deal.
Oh, yeah. I feel like I saw that name there. Yeah.
He's all over the place. So that's what we watched on this episode. However, I did want to note there are 2 full-length features that are technically part of this series titled Adult Swim Yule Log. An Adult Swim Yule Log 2, Branching Out. Did I forget something?
No, I was just going to try and like sync up where we said Yule Log at the same time, but I failed.
Oh.
Like twins.
Oh, like twins. I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay.
These both were created by our pal Casper Kelly again. And, you know, to be honest, we just didn't have the time or wherewithal to watch them. So we'll get back to you about these ones. Maybe. Maybe we won't. Who knows? Who
cares? I just want to watch a movie.
Yeah. I mean, these are movies.
Yeah, I know.
So the time has come to unveil our official Gem Hunt top 10 horror episodes from all 46 of these shorts that we watched over the last 2 podcast episodes here.
40 fucking 6.
Yeah, they're each about 11 minutes long, so you can do the math. I can't because I never learned how to do math or read or anything like that. But I thought let's start with number 10. At 10, we have Final Deployment 4. Queen Battle Walkthrough.
Whew. Coming in at number 9 is Live at the Necropolis, The Lords of Synth.
Applause. Woo. Number 8, Broom Shakalaka.
Number 7 is Frank Pierre Presents the Frank Pierre Resort and Casino.
Woo! At number 6, our body whore favorite, Flay Away.
Number 5 is Pervert Everything, which fucked us up.
Okay, we're getting into the actual scary ones.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah.
Number 4, much loved Mulchtown.
I just want to, it's kind of my personal favorite.
That's fair.
Yeah. Number 3, classic Too Many Cooks.
Yeah, I bet everyone thought that was going to be number 1, but no, we surprised you.
Mm-hmm.
Number 2. Get the drum roll going. Unedited footage of a bear.
And the surprise victor, number 1, is This House Has People in It.
Hell yeah. So, that's your list. If you just want to watch Gem Hunt's favorite horror episodes, if you have a lot of time to kill, just watch all of them, maybe. I mean, I think we noted a few along the way that we said don't bother watching, but, you know, if you're just going through them, why not? I think, you know, the thing is you can find some of these on YouTube.
Oh, right, right.
Some of them on Adult Swim.
Right.
Some of them on HBO Max.
Mm-hmm.
Between those 3 places, I think you can watch everything on here.
But you have to persevere a little bit to figure out which
place. That's true. Yeah, it gets a little annoying at some points trying to track these down. So that's the end of our tedious adventure through the Adult Swim infomercials, which was a lot more work than I think we anticipated.
Back to life, back to reality.
That's So the next episode, we will be watching a movie, and I am happy to announce that Beth is up next.
Uh-oh.
Have you picked a movie?
No, but I have a short list, and I meant to do that as well, and I'm Beth, and I'm a failure.
That's not true.
It'll be coming soon.
And I think, I mean, here's what I will commit to. Regardless of the timeline, I would like to have the full cast of the Gem Hunt podcast recording live. So even if we have to maybe delay a week to get our episode out,
I think
it's possible. We'll see.
Yeah.
But we'll be back with an actual movie.
Yeah.
Hopefully all three of us.
And we might be back with the first part of cancer treatment completed. I think so.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
I do because, yeah, I'm thinking in my brain about January. It is possible that by the next time you hear us after this episode, it'll be the break.
No one wants to care about that.
This is a cancer podcast.
Boo.
We're here to talk about cancer.
I'm going back to shit and glass.
Ugh. Ugh.
Good night, everybody. Go watch Adult Swim.
Woo!
Dirt dogs on a gym hunt. ¶¶